drive mad. And he goes, I'm not mad! I'm not driving mad! I have Gabe's sex swing with arrows pointing to it in my notes.
What do you mean arrows pointing
to it? Because those are the ones I really don't want to miss. Here's the thing, is I didn't realize that Mexico is known for schooling or gifted children.
I believe it's known for human trafficking and kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yo, man, one second. I'm trying to get my drink on.
With my Haitian hand.
Are they already ashy, Gabe?
Yeah, they're getting there.
Jesus Christ, it's been cold like twice and you're already black.
I was up in Vermont.
You must be part African.
I was up in Vermont, so it was way colder.
Fair enough. How much colder? It was pretty cold this weekend.
It was.
I was up camping in Vermont.
Yeah, I know.
And the lowest it hit was 6 degrees, which they've been camping there for about 30 years. And they said it tied with the coldest.
Damn.
Yeah. But you just build a fire. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Build a fire, drink some scotch. It's all good in the hood.
Hmm. Cinema Apocalypse Now show where we talk about movies with your host, Scott Lizard Abrams.
Gabby Good to His Mother, Tasheda.
And Big Daddy Don Bodine.
Do you guys want to talk about the elephant in the room?
The chink elephant in the room?
No, not that. It's just, I've had it. I mean, by it, I mean the Popeye spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Oh.
I've had it.
Yeah. So,
before I give my full review, let me just point out that there was a fatal stabbing over a Popeye's chicken sandwich
while you were
last
ordering?
Weekend. No, no, it wasn't that bad. It was a very good service in Randolph, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, that's the one down near where I used to live.
Yeah.
It was literally that location, though?
No.
Oh, I thought, I would not be that surprised. Did you hear about Kanye's new song?
Oh, yeah, it's open on Sunday. Or closed on Sunday.
Yeah.
You, my Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to say... Okay, so now that I've got this open... it was in Maryland, so Baltimore, in other words.
Baltimore.
Balmer.
Baltimore, yes. Man, so black, you can't understand his name. That's a good idea, and I got ruined by... whatever.
You're just going to have to develop it into a screenplay, and then we'll take
Baltimore,
it from there.
Yeah. So apparently a guy cut in line and another fella, young scholar, decided that it was an affront enough that he should die for it.
You get cut in line, you get cut in life.
Yep. Oh. Or you cut in line, you get cut in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, man, fucking, and I've heard, probably not on the CNN site, but that the chicken sandwich in question was stolen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're going to stab a man, like, you might as well go, like, full throttle with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Over something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Chicken
sandwiches are serious business.
I agree.
It's worth dying for, definitely.
Yeah. So I liked this, but you got to make the comparison to Chick-fil-A, obviously. And if I had to choose which one I liked better, I would still say Chick-fil-A. And the Chick-fil-A is kind of more like a basic... like bread and butter chicken, or you know, peanut butter and jelly fucking chicken sandwich. The Popeyes one has the Popeyes batter in it, so it just tastes like Popeyes, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm talking about if you've had it before.
It's like spicy, peppered, crunchy.
Yeah, and it's got like a really, it's kind of got like an oily batter, whereas I feel like the Chick-fil-A is more like a, this is more crust crunchy though. I don't know, it's just weird. It's something a little bit more artificial to me.
The Chick-fil-A?
No, the Popeyes.
Chick-fil-A is more lightly battered.
Right, that's my point.
And
yeah.
Are you talking, like, comparing directly, like, the deluxe chicken sandwich or the regular chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A?
Spicy on both.
Spicy on both? Okay, yeah. But you're talking about just bread and butter pickles?
The Popeyes sandwich has a sauce on it.
Okay.
It's got, like, a spicy mayo on it.
Well, at Chick-fil-A, you can choose whatever sauce you want.
I know. That's also a added bonus, because sometimes you're feeling a little bit, of mayo, and sometimes you're feeling like you want some Chick-fil-A sauce on that bad, Larry.
What was that fucking gay-named sauce that you got at Wendy's the other day?
Oh, Sossum Sauce?
Sossum Sauce. Who is in fucking charge of that nickname?
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty Sossum.
I think it's just ranch mixed with barbecue sauce.
Wow.
Pretty much. It's good, though.
Yeah.
And mayonnaise.
Barbecue sauce. Well, ranch is mayonnaise, essentially.
Yeah, with a few extra ingredients.
But I like both. That's the thing. I really enjoyed the sandwich, and I actually got another one downstairs to see how it is after a few hours.
You wanted to see if it, like, survived?
Yeah.
All for science.
It matters.
Yeah, but most fast food, it's, like, it's never going to be as good as, like, when it's hot and ready.
I had it when it was hot and ready.
Yeah.
So I want to try it when it's not.
He will compare.
Because I've had Chick-fil-A, like, a couple hours later, too.
Have you had, like, McDonald's when you, like, leave it out for
a little
bit?
McDonald's is a special shit case.
It's fucking...
It's not good when it's hot. So.
Yeah. The only thing good is a breakfast.
Yeah.
True.
I like the tendies. The new tendies are pretty good, actually.
Oh, yeah. At Popeyes?
Mickey D's,
baby.
Oh, yeah, the selects or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm about
good.
That game.
They're pretty good.
About it.
Well, I haven't had the Popeyes change. Is it sold out again yet?
No. They knew that what the demand was going to be this time.
Do you think they did that on purpose, that they did
a little bit,
a limited
but I don't
release?
Think they realized that there was going to be murders happening over it. But, I mean, think about the clientele.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Out in the streets, they call it murder for chicken sandwich.
No one knows
that song?
No, I don't.
Come on, classic.
Okay, so I do want to give like a slight Marshall update, because I got a bunch of
concern messages.
No, nothing like that. Some info. I got a dossier, if you will, on Marshall. Some of his happenings since I saw him last on Friday.
I do tell.
That fucking Cape Dirtian bar, he wouldn't stop talking about. He still won't stop talking about it. It's like his new thing.
He brought it up to me the first time, like, when his mom got involved.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, it's sick. Do you want to go? And I was like, I couldn't think of a place that I'd, like, rather.
He asked us, but we could have been involved in that story because he asked us both if we wanted to go there on Halloween.
Nice.
I can think of a myriad of opportunities that I would, like, go to before going to a Cape Dirtian bar.
I'd get in line at Popeye's before I'd go there.
Yeah, I cut at Popeye's.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
Take a chance on my life.
Yeah,
almost the same risk.
Yeah. But no, also, yeah, he lost his ID. And he has like this gay little, like, looks like a makeup contact. It's like, yo, this is like a sick new, like, you know, like accessory wallet. Like,
yo, you don't have one of these?
Yeah.
Yo, it's dope. It's like,
and I was like, it looks like a makeup contact. He's like proud of it. And then I'm like, it looks like a makeup contact. And he'd come back and he's like, yeah, it is kind of gay, though.
It's European, dude.
So, that's not worth telling. He made his mom change the cat box right in front of him, even though he was supposed to.
Wait, was this like chef style?
Yeah. Like,
Ma, after the, my
after,
box.
After they were over, after Mike and Marshall were over our place on Friday, they went back to his house to fuck and play with his computer. And they were, like, hanging out in his room, and Marshall's mom got home at after our shift at the Cape Dirty bar and was like, Marshall, I thought I told you to clean the cat's box.
I just kicked a gang member in the face.
As hard as I could. I picked up a bar stool, and I went at him. Pretty good at an impression of her.
I've literally never heard, like, I've heard her speak once. I'm basing it on your impression of her.
It's her.
Very close. Marshall!
That's the impression.
But yeah, so he was like, oh, because he was probably that drunk by that point.
Of course.
And
he's like, dude, did I guys tell you guys I'm part Samoan?
Samoan. No, but so she's like, all right, fuck it, I'll just do it. And she starts to fucking scoop the box, and it's like halfway done, and he finally gets him and goes, all right, I'll take care of it. Like that. And like, it's like, no. Like, oh, yeah. So at that point, he's like, yo, mom, Mike's coming to the Bardino's with me. And he's like, no, I'm not.
It's fucking terrible.
Mike told me that he was playing Red Dead with him online last night, because it's on PC now. Marshall's got a PC.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to, like, posse up in the online. Mm-hmm. And Marshall just kept like ramming into him with his horse. And then like another group of guys came and like Marshall had already killed his own horse and had like fucked up Mike's horse. And then another gang came to attack him and he jumped on the back of Mike's horse and he kept going, "Go faster, go faster." And then also Mike was trying to, he was trying to go into like the catalog to like pick out a better outfit because he got stuck with like a gay outfit with the online.
Yeah.
And
I can't believe that game's still fucking going.
Well, no, it's Red Dead 2 I'm talking about.
I know that, but I'm saying the online.
It just came to PC like 2 days ago. It's now optimized
for PC, Gabe.
It just came out for PC 2 days ago.
It was in beta when I was playing the game, and yeah. I played it for like 2 seconds and was like, this is fucking boring.
It is boring. But so yeah, he kept trying to go into the catalog to like change his clothes, and Marshall kept just running into him, and it kept closing the window.
I'm glad he acts like a drunken asshole in real life and in video games. Of course, games.
What do you think he was doing? He was going... And then as soon as if he missed, he was like, hit him. I don't know. He does that to me, though. Why don't you hit him? So they were all playing online the other night, and Marshall goes like, "Yo, I've been talking to this girl. She's pretty cool. Like, you
couple
know,
there's kids.
There's things we have in common.
She's a drug addict too."
And then he goes, "I just don't know if she's fat or not."
Oh god. Is he on like Tinder or something?
I don't know. Whatever he's on, but it's just he's like on if you have again. Any doubt as to whether she's fat, she's fat. Fat.
Like, yep. Yeah.
She's bad.
If there's a question in your mind, yeah. Rest assured.
I feel like I'm pretty good at it now. He should just show us pictures.
You can just tell if they don't have any full body pictures. They're fat.
Between the three of us, we could determine it.
Yeah, clearly.
Because even if there's not pictures that would indicate it, there are certain things that would say on your profile.
Like this. Like...
But I'm saying there's certain things you'd say on your profile, too.
True. Likes dogs.
likes music.
Likes dogs, music.
loves to cook.
Yeah. Deformed left hand.
Cook for me.
Deformed left hand. He's into Lobster Girls now?
I mean...
Didn't he fuck around with someone with a deformed something?
Someone who messaged him news that he was showing us. And then I read her description. That was like the second sentence. It was like, I have a deformed left hand. <yeah. laughs>
We're like, this girl's a real cat.
He really should wipe that shit up quick. She'd be so good to him.
Marsha would be like, dude, look how big my dick looks in her hand, though.
I bet it would.
First concern.
She's also a movie buff, so we could definitely have her on the show.
Oh, yeah. She'll be fifth Mike. In fact, we'll just get rid of him for her.
That's a good idea.
Marshall's deformed hand jobs.
Yeah, Marshall's lay of the week, fucking strong hand, Miss Strong Hand.
Yeah. What were you saying, Gabe, about Call of Duty?
Any good? No, I was just saying.
I heard it stinks.
I like it.
Yeah. I've heard from Marshall thinks it stinks. I think Mike thinks it stinks. I don't remember. Maybe he did like it.
Did they buy it?
Yeah, they buy everything. Mike buys everything.
I'm not a connoisseur, but doesn't Call of Duty kind of just have a reputation for stinking?
To me, it does, because it's like those tiny little maps where like it's all about like knowing the tricks and like where to stand for perfect like or whatever. I'm not like a big. I like a big theater. Battlefield.
I'm more of a Battlefield fan.
Yeah,
they did add a mode in it where they're definitely trying to like kind of get at that Battlefield thing.
Okay.
The thing being is that the last Battlefield that came out sucked dick.
Yeah.
That they came out with like a World War II one, but they wanted to make it like fucking Fortnite. Like in the we talked about a little on the podcast.
Yeah.
The girl had the
was robot arm. Robot arm. World War II. Yeah.
Fake like. Fucking ridiculous. Now I'm getting mad thinking about it again.
Yeah, that is gay.
Quick change of subject.
I'm surprised this is made by the same ones I think that made the one. Remember the controversial airplane?
Yeah.
Thing?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Airport thing. I've sent you a meme involving that a couple weeks ago.
I was confused because I never played that one. At that point, I was way off of Call of Duty. The last one I had played before this that I was actually into was World at War. So that was years ago. And that was still World War II.
Yeah.
So this one is... They did what I fucking hate, and they do this whenever they remake movies. They named it the same title of one they already came out with. So now when you, like, if I, like, look up how to do something, like, I was trying to look up closed captions because I was playing the story mode, and it was, like, hard for me to understand people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, how do you turn on closed captions in Call of Duty Modern Warfare? And it's like, oh, do you mean the one from fucking, yeah, like, a zillion years
2007?
Ago? 2007? Well, yeah, it was, like, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yeah. That must have been later than that, but yeah.
The one that came out on Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Maybe Call... It might,
dude,
be Call of Duty...
Dude, it's not an Xbox. It's an Xbox 360.
Huh?
Get it straight.
I said 360.
I know.
Duh.
I know. I'm referring to something you said one time fucking 12 years ago.
I heart Xbox sticker.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus Christ. You guys fucking hold on to like everything.
It's worth holding on to.
I made him laugh.
I was surprised on this one because I heard it was fucked up.
Yeah.
And when you go to play the campaign in this one, they give you like a mature content rating. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would just do it the first time. It's like, just so you know, like fucked up shit happens in the game and you got to be prepared for it.
You might get triggered, snowflakes.
And you're like, okay, I agree to whatever like gay contract you're making me agree to play the game that I fucking bought.
Yeah.
But you have to do it every time.
Every time you do what? Start a new campaign?
No, every time you play campaign.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I agree.
Wait, there's no like, don't ask me this question again.
Ever again.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to.
There's
look
gotta
it up
be
online.
A way to get around.
But there's
that.
No like box to check.
That's
or
what I'm saying.
Easy.
There was nothing like that. That's insane.
But I have to say, I am
dude,
not.
Dude, this is bullshit. I gotta press X one more time.
It's just annoying, really. It's like when you fucking open up a program on your computer and it's like, did you know you could update this? Like every time you're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I
should probably get those updates.
I have to play it. I haven't played it all the way through in the campaign, but it gets pretty fucked up in there while still being fucking woke. Because, like, there's a lot of women main characters that probably wouldn't necessarily be there.
Women are carrying around black men on their backs.
No, they're support.
They're holding one under each arm. And they're like, Yo, Rachel, thank you so much for carrying me. I was gonna be dead.
Yeah. I don't know how he knew that, the like terrific plot point that they put in there, but
yo, Rachel's badass.
They have a woman like general.
That was the Jewish name I picked, by the way.
They have a woman general that's like griefing you a bunch. And then there's only like one female fighter, and I'll give it to them because she's like a rebel. Fucking sand, you know what?
So she's like one of the Kurds,
some shit.
Yeah,
I mean they make everything vague because like they don't want to like
upset Turkey.
I mean the only thing that is actually spelled out for you is like the Russians are the bad guys.
Oh wow,
which is like
surprise.
They've been doing that since fucking Rocky and Rambo. The Russians are always the bad guys.
I know, it's because they're white.
But they show like racial genocide, people getting hung, children killing people. Children getting killed. So I'm very surprised with how crazy it gets.
But and then at the very end, it'll say, like in Red Strings Club, it'll be like, literally all the characters in the scene will look at you, like POV, like your character, and say, and this is all because of you, white male. Do you agree? Yes, no. And if you hit agree, if you hit disagree, it says, you lose.
Yeah. Was that your, like, that the game that you played? That's what you were saying?
There's a scene where it's kind of like, they just scold you if you don't answer correctly.
Fucking ridiculous. Whoa, you can't be, like, artificial intelligence because you're so stupid. Wasn't that it? Or was the robot the one asking the questions?
The robot was asking the questions, yeah.
But I'm glad to say that online trash talk is alive and well. I was playing...
You could call the N-word by 12-year-olds.
Well, I only put it...
fuck your mom!
I only put it on...
Sell your game, dude!
I only put
Sell
it on...
Sell your fucking game!
If I play with friends, usually.
Yeah.
Or they have, like, a double team match, but let me get to the point. I was playing the other morning because Charity hadn't woken up yet, so I was like, oh, I'm not going to bother her, and I just went downstairs to play a little games first. And she walks down the stairs, and then the dude on the TV is like, I'm going to dick slap you in the forehead and I'm going to leave a mark, fag.
I've heard you can get banned from chatting in certain games.
I doubt it.
On PC, I'm pretty sure. There's certain games that they made the feature where you can report people for saying racial slurs.
The best thing about this one is they finally have done cross-platform.
That's cool.
So you can play with PC and you can play with Xbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so what they do is they do it through Activision, so you just, like, put your email
Everyone on a console will be owned by the PC players.
Well, yeah, you're at a severe handicap.
Yeah. But there actually is a thing you can buy that it's like a dongle that you stick to your console where you can just use a keyboard and mouse.
It's USB, though. Why wouldn't you be able to plug just a USB keyboard and mouse in?
Because they don't want you to be able to do that. It's to be a third party. It's like a, what are those things called?
They had it.
Mad Cats or whatever.
They had it all the way back for the Dreamcast, but obviously it was like shaped like the controller port.
We saw how that went.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey.
That worked out.
Y'all didn't like the Dreamcast?
No, I'm just saying it was like, it was the final nail in the coffin. All right,
this is something I prepared you that we were going to talk about. Not quite. But I'm very excited to talk about this. So, long time ago, my dad had a longtime girlfriend who we live with.
Grilled cheese maker extraordinaire.
Same one? With grilled cheese? Did she really get a grilled cheese? I don't remember call that inside joke.
Well,
that was what she was known for. It was lost to time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, so she had a sister who was a snicker licker.
Yes.
And
I haven't heard that term in a long time.
I was gonna say something else, but I didn't want to break the thing that we said we wouldn't do episode.
She was a mud shark.
Yeah, she was a mud shark. Good way of putting it.
And her son had a friend with a tattoo of his dad on his back.
Oh, yes, that's true. She did also. That was another
fellow coal burner?
No, her son wasn't a coal burner.
No, her son was not a coal burner. Although, who knows? He might have been an oil derrick, though.
Could be.
I've never heard that one.
That's a guy who fucks black girls.
Yeah. An oil derrick?
Because you're putting your rod into the ground.
We got it.
I like it.
Anyway, I can't believe I got to say oil derrick.
You're pumping for oil?
Anyway, sorry, I'm picturing it. What's it called? So anyway, her sister was married to a black guy, and he was a super Oreo, by the way. He played guitar in the church band. They were Baptists.
Like, that's how they met.
Probably. And so he had two sons, one of which was about my age. And so sometimes we'd hang out with him, like, you know, he'd get watched by, you know, because we were in high school or whatever. And yeah, it doesn't matter. We'll call him my cousin for the sake of argument, because he was like my step cousin, so to speak. Anyway, so this one, his name was Jason, by the way. I can say that because I'm not going to talk shit about him much. He did. Yeah, we'll get to that. So anyway, one time my dad did. You know how your dads ever do this thing where they like where they go like, hey, like, I got us like tickets to go see this thing that you're like not really that interested in going to, but like I'm gonna act like it's a big favor to you.
It happened recently with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so one time he got us all tickets. It was like a weekend where you were sleeping over at my dad's house and got us all tickets to go see Brad Delp's Beatles cover band Beetlejuice.
Yes.
And if you don't know who Brad Delp is, he's an American barbecue enthusiast. Get it? Because he barbecued himself to death.
Okay.
Clever.
Other people out there laughed when I first said barbecue enthusiast. Yeah, he lit a barbecue in his bathroom to kill himself.
Yeah, I know.
He was also the lead singer of Boston at one time.
Not the original lineup, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the singer.
Yeah.
And he did this Beetlejuice thing?
Yeah, he was down in his luck a little bit.
I was going to say.
It's hard times.
Why do you think he barbecued himself to death? He realized he was headlining the fucking high school auditorium.
In Brockton.
It wasn't Brockton.
It was Brockton.
Anyway, we'll get to that. Doesn't matter. I don't think it was Brockton.
It was. Okay.
Well, whatever. Anyway, what was I going to say?
That's guy that funny barbecued too. Himself.
No, it's okay. Sorry. I was just thinking about saying, Blake Hyannis.
That's what I was talking about.
That's a totally
about.
Different story.
Yeah, I know that's different. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was Brockton High. 100%.
Oh, yeah. That was when we were going to see that shitty Julius Caesar play.
Yes.
But
yes.
This was, I'm telling you.
But it's integral to the story.
Okay. Let's hear it.
We got tickets to this Beetlejuice show, and so Jason was a pretty big fan of the Beatles, so he was like, yeah, I'll go. So anyway, when he picked Don and I up, he said, he took me and him aside and said to us, Now you guys, I don't want you guys alienating Jason tonight. And we were like, what the
Your
fuck?
Your dad said that?
Yeah. And I was like, what?
Had you had any prior like problems with Jason?
No,
why
never.
Would he say that?
It's, I don't know. That's what mystified me. So anyway, we end up picking up Jason, and this is the part that I think was integral, because he got out of the car because he was asking directions.
I don't know why he got out of the car, but he was out of the car, and I remember we told Jason.
So we go to Jason. We're like, you know what's weird? My dad said he told us not to fucking alienate you tonight, and he goes, what the fuck? like that. So I said, okay, let's do this bit. My dad gets back in the car. It's after we told Jason about this bit idea we have, and so we're driving. And all of a sudden, I loudly announce, "You know, Jason, it's been a real difficult decision, but me and Don have formally decided. We made the executive decision that we're going to alienate you tonight." And he goes, "Hey, no, wait!" And he goes, "Oh man, that sucks." Like that, because he knew.
And Gary's like, I specifically requested this.
Hey, what the fuck? I fucking told you guys not to fucking do that.
He literally goes, hey.
And then I remember I was like, Jesus Christ. And then so I waited a few more minutes because we were like, because he was so pissed off. And then I go, don't drive mad. And he goes, I'm not mad. I'm not driving mad.
See, I remember that as happening at a restaurant where he like almost like started to like strangle you in the parking lot.
Yeah, that was after
Homer Simpson.
He did.
Yeah,
Homer
basically.
Simpson.
Yeah,
he did. No, that was after the part where I said, "Don't drive mad."
It might have been
because it was.
Is
I
that
pissed
a thing
him
that
off.
Your dad's always said?
No, I told him.
No, because he got really pissed off. So Scott said, "Don't drive mad."
I'm not driving mad.
And Scott, now you are.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I'm so glad I fucking... What made me think of that the other day?
I don't know.
Obviously, you don't know. Yeah,
I think of that weekly.
I had a similar situation as far as, like, my dad went to Mohegan Sun and he got free tickets to... it was, like, a low-level, like, MMA event. And usually on that stuff, there's a lot of, like, grappling matches,
yeah.
Which is, like...
Gay.
It's just people playing grab-ass. They're not even striking.
Yeah, it's like wrestling.
It's, yeah, not a good sport to watch.
It's like Greco-Roman wrestling. Yeah.
And my dad was, like, excited to go, so I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. And then, like, my mom, like, invited herself.
Oh, yeah, you told us this. Did you tell it on the show, though?
I don't remember.
Well,
I think you just told me about
maybe
this.
Maybe I told you about
it.
But I was like, well, I'm not fucking going now, because now I know that the way my dad is, he's a complete pushover, and that my mom will, like...
Okay, now we're going to go do this.
Exactly. Like... She's gonna decide everything we're going to do, and I'm like, I'm fucking too old to be put in that situation anymore. And then she, like, called me up and said that I was being immature because I didn't want to go. I was like, I didn't want to go in the first place. I was just going to spend time with my fucking dad, and you ruined it. But that's that.
Yeah.
Moms are awesome, as you know.
Oh, yeah. Still but not talking to mine.
I'm still good to mine.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
I got to live up to my mom.
I guess you haven't called your mom an idiot.
No.
Can't say I haven't.
Usually you just accuse my mom of having Noonan syndrome.
Gabe, we got to talk about this. I'm so shocked we haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about, did you ever end up getting that sex swing back?
No.
okay. This is the ex that sucks, the one who stripped.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking about baloney stripper here.
Baloney stripper
baloney
here.
Ass, yeah.
I remember, like, when Gabe broke up with her, I remember one of the things that he was really pissed off about, he was like, dude, I'm really gonna get my fucking sex swing back.
What?
It's not that I wanted it back. I was more concerned with why did she keep it?
Why would you want a used sex toy back?
No, listen.
It was expensive.
Because her gross fat ass was in it. That's why.
No, but why would
also, you... Also, it's so funny to me that she was like, oh yeah, let's get a sex swing, Gabe. And it's like, and it'd be like one of those, like, you know how like when they rescue like a whale from a helicopter and they like lift it up out of the water?
No,
she's so fat, you had to use something to construct something to hoist her up high enough to get it in her.
What I was confused about was when we were all said and done, she still had it. And I know this because... After, I think we had to get security deposits back or something like that because we had an apartment together.
Mm-hmm.
and she like mentioned something about like, she's like, oh, I put it under my bed so my brother doesn't like fuck with my shit, because he's like, oh, gross, I know what that is, kind of thing. Like her little brother.
Yeah, you'd know what a sex swing looks like.
He was like a 12-year-old. He was exposed to probably a lot more than he should have been. But I was also like, why the fuck does she still have it? Like, why wouldn't you throw that shit away? Like, anything that was involved with my bits, with your bits, I throw away when we break up.
The way you made it seem to me is like, you were like, dude, I get that shit back.
No, it was like fucking $30 on Amazon. I'm not that concerned about it. But it was, I just found it was really weird that she would keep it. Isn't that fucking gross?
Listen, if there's a way that she can be able to have sex more comfortably with her extreme weight, she's not going to throw that away.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
That's true. I mean, I'm a jerk for thinking otherwise, yeah. Really.
That's like saying you should get, she should throw away her mobility scooter.
Yeah.
So she can roll into other dicks.
When she backs her ass up, it goes beep, beep, beep.
And then she puts it forward again and then backs it up again.
Yeah.
You don't like that imagery?
No. I don't.
I have Gabe's sex swing with arrows pointing to it in my notes. By the way.
Arrows pointing
to it. Because those are the ones I really don't want to miss.
No, draw attention to it. Yeah.
Also, alienating Jason was one of them.
That's a pretty good episode. Alienating Jason.
All right. Oh, anyway, we were at the fucking shitty Beetlejuice concert, and like after like three songs, we're like, okay, this sucks. It's just a Beatles cover band.
There's a little kid who looks like the Trout dancing at the front of the stage.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Was it a seated show?
Yeah, it was in a high school auditorium.
That makes it way worse when there's somebody dancing.
It was like a 3-year-old.
No, he wasn't. He was like 11 or 12.
It's just awkward.
He looked like the Trout.
When I went and saw the Beach Boys with my... When I saw the Mike Love version of the Beach Boys, since great, there's multiple things out there, I went with my mother because my dad won't be bothered with that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I like the Beach Boys. Little did we know Mike Love was singing.
Yeah,
and there was like,
I mean, when you see it says the Beach Boys featuring Brian Wilson when it's the Beach Boys.
It just says Brian Wilson, doesn't even
they
say
don't
anything
about
the Beach
Boys.
They did tour once.
They don't explicitly say because Mike Love owns the rights, so
to
he could just
Boys,
say
yeah.
Beach Boys.
I know. And it has John Stamos on guitar.
He wasn't there.
Even worse. You don't even get to see fucking Uncle Jesse.
Oh, come on.
I think Al Jardine was there, maybe.
No, he doesn't like him.
No, he plays with Brian Wilson.
Yeah, he doesn't like Mike Love, I don't think.
One time when I went to see Brian Wilson, when I came out of the theater where we saw him, there was someone like, hey, like Beach Boys. They were like handing out like flyers for like a Beach Boys, like a Mike Love Beach Boys show. And I was like, ugh.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, really?
No.
They're papering the fucking
show. Seeing them, yeah. We saw him for your like bachelor party, seeing him with Brian Wilson's version of the Beach Boys, whatever the fuck you're going to call it.
Well,
was
he played
way
some Brian Wilson,
better.
Brian Wilson songs. Yeah.
Mike Love wasn't even a good singer when he was in his prime.
No. Mm. He just could go like this. And he was their older cousin.
Mm-hmm.
He was their
true
older
story.
Cousin, yeah.
Faggot. You know what he did too? And this is at the Wilbur.
Became bald.
Wore a hat.
Well, yeah.
Conceal his bald head.
He did too.
Just wearing this hat again. You know, really like my Beach Boys hat.
His nephew is like a basketball player. He was playing on the Cleveland Cavaliers for a while. And he was
Kevin
like.
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, like put up a picture of his like nephew. And it's like, dude, you're in Boston. Like, obviously, like, all the fucking town is going to be like, what the fuck is that shit? Like, know your audience. I remember him very creepily.
I don't know. It's Boston would love to see a white basketball player.
It's true.
I would think.
I may or may not have brought it up on the show, but I remember a girl was, like, dancing because she was like, oh, I like this old, like, Beach Boys song. And she was near the stage, and he walked by and, like, brushed her hair, and it was, like, the creepiest fucking thing.
With a skeleton hand.
Yeah. That was part of it.
Hey
was
there,
that,
let me touch get a little bit of your youth.
It was more than 100 feet away, but I could tell that he had those, like, the veiny fucking gross hands. Where it's, like, very see-through and gross.
Ew.
And he just touched this, like,
so, like, your hands will look
hair.
Like in, like, 3 years?
Probably. Yeah, I got... The nurses all say I have good veins, but I
don't... Yeah, good to inject fucking happy medicine into.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah, but okay, so the gay kid was dancing up front.
Oh, yeah. So at one point we got bored and decided to like go walk around the school.
Yeah.
And then Jason came out and like and was like, "Hey, what are you guys doing?"
I'm like, "We're not going back in there."
And then so he went and told my dad.
Yeah. That was gay.
Who was already being a cunt to me all night.
Was Jason younger than you guys?
1 year younger than me.
Okay, that doesn't really justify it.
Yeah,
then.
He was gay. Oh, sorry. I said I wasn't going to talk shit, but fuck him. I alienated him.
He jerked off in Scott's room when he was staying over.
Did he?
Or was that the other brother? He was sleeping in your room, and like you saw that he had watched like Comcast porn for like...
Oh, that must have been the other brother then.
For like a three-minute clip. And
yeah.
he was done, yeah.
It probably was him, yeah.
Well, just hopefully he went in the bathroom and beat off.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He was just getting up to mast.
Yeah. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Comcast porn. That shit was... Yeah. Lord of the G-Strings. Bring it up again, baby.
Without Marshall here.
I know.
It's a crime.
Yo, remember Lord of the G-Strings?
No, we forgot. I'm actually getting pretty good at Marshall impressions, actually.
Can we hear it?
Yo!
Yeah, I mean, that's a... I mean, everybody's got their own tick.
Mine's
dude, and then his is just, like, getting overly excited than that.
He.
Oh, do you see any of those commercials for, like, kids' toys that teach them how to code and shit?
No.
Yeah, like, they're teaching kids pretty fucking young to code. They're going to call us boomers someday, because we don't know how to code.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, boomers.
I was going to make the joke, but it's fucking already dead.
Yeah.
Dude, the Epstein memes are getting out of control now.
That wasn't funny after the first time I saw it.
No.
Especially because I talked so... Oh, shit, we could talk conspiracies a little bit. I got a fat dossier on fucking some crazy conspiracy shit that's probably related to Epstein.
Bust it out, homie.
So on October 27th, the FBI released 326 pages of declassified information related to a child abuse and sex satanic cult called the Finders. And this is all on FBI.gov. You can go read it for yourselves if you want.
These are declassified documents?
Real declassified documents, and it got tweeted out from the official FBI Twitter account. It's all real. Where to begin?
FBI has Twitter.
Everything's on Twitter.
This fucking world's such a weird place now.
Yeah.
Continue.
Anyway, so this is all real. So where do I begin here? So let me start by saying this. Do you guys remember this case in the 80s where there was like this preschool in California that was investigated for
McMartin.
Like McMartin? Thank you for knowing this. This really helps. Yeah, so do you know what this, Gabe?
Basically, they
swept it all under the rug, and they were like, oh, it turns out they were leading the kids. You know, I mean, it was their fault. They're implanting fake memories to try to demonize these innocent people.
They're
all
leading
the
kids.
They said that the prosecutors were leading the kids.
Well, the kids supposedly said all this weird shit.
They did say some weird shit, too, yeah. Involving tunnels underneath the school. Witches, that, like, there was, like, animal killings and shit. Mm. Well, we'll get back to that. Anyway, so let's start our
let's
story.
Let's just briefly mention
because that was, like, in about 1985 or so.
That sounds about right.
And this story begins in 1987. And, again, you can go check all this shit out. I combed through it while listening to some YouTube videos that, like, went through it line by line. And, wow. 1987, somebody calls the Tallahassee police because they hear some children talking in a nearby park at 3, like 1 in the morning. Police respond and they find a van with 6 children, filthy, with no shoes and mismatched socks. They're covered in bug bites and 2 men in a van and who identify themselves as the children's teachers, and they're in transit currently to Mexico, where they plan to start a school for gifted children. Now,
gifted dirty children.
I was going to say, here's the thing, is I didn't realize that Mexico is known for schooling or gifted children. Gifted,
I believe it's known for human trafficking and kidnapping.
Yeah. Okay, so their story didn't check out, obvi. So the police took the kids in, and in their report, they mentioned several times how badly they stunk.
The children?
Yes. Also, when they tried to arrest the two men for child abuse, one of them pretended to faint. I remember all this. My shit's like a steel trap when it comes to this stuff.
How could you forget that?
That's true.
Pretended to faint. What did he? Did he just like peek up after he was done?
The police would be like, "All right, we'll let him."
Yeah, we better leave him.
Shit, this is the second time this has happened to us.
So they also found hacking equipment and computers and a bunch of documents in the van, but obviously they couldn't like search through it because you'd need a warrant. So they took the kids in, and the kids didn't know what staplers or pens were.
They sound gifted.
Yeah. And they said that they've been being fed a raw vegan diet and were only fed when they were good.
The two guys. 1987.
Mm-hmm.
They had raw vegan diets then?
I mean, they just gave them vegetables.
Oh, okay.
Like, not enough food for them to survive.
They were on an all protein diet.
Probably.
It just seemed a little weird, but could continue.
And so basically, after 2 days of holding the kids, during which the police station received numerous phone calls from unidentified people and numbers threatening the lives of the children unless they're released.
Threatening to kill the children.
And that everyone in the station would get killed if they didn't release the children.
What the fuck?
This is all on paper. Like, you can go look at this shit. And it hasn't even started to get weird yet.
I mean, it is in Florida, so I'm going to just continue to say that that's just like everyday occurrence in Florida.
Right. So anyway, during this 2-day period where they had the kids, investigators determined that at least two of the children were definitely sexually abused. I forget how this connection was made, but basically the two men were financially connected to a group, a self-help group and like, you know, commune kind of thing, like think hippies,
mm-hmm.
Called the Finders, which is based out of Washington, D.C., and owned multiple properties in the D.C. metro area. They owned one house where they found... they had a warehouse and, like, a farm. During the course of this investigation, neighbors around the farm were questioned, and a lot of them said that... Multiple people said that they saw that van loads of children were regularly brought there over cover of darkness. Anyway, D.C. Metro Police raided their other location, which was a warehouse, in which they found literally thousands of pieces of what they described as contraband, including computer hacking equipment, computer files, computers, and like thousands of photographs, numerous of which are depict naked children, although they were not officially deemed pornography.
So they were art pictures.
I guess. That's what they were going with. And also photos of children ritualistically slaughtering lambs.
Well, I mean, who doesn't have a few of those?
Yeah.
Framed.
Art. Duh. Go on.
You're right. In the farm I mentioned before, D.C. Metro Police wrote that they were in possession of, quote, classified documents that detailed the underground tunnels of the D.C. metro area and sewer system. Does anybody remember Pizzagate? Perhaps. Just saying. I just remind you that this is all real. Like, this isn't bullshit. I mean, I guess it could be a false, you know, could be a psyop or something.
This is a false flag, people.
Yeah. Okay, this is where it gets really fucking weird. Because randomly, between pages, I want to say 48 and 50, there's all this stuff that I've been talking about before. Then all of a sudden, at page 48 or 49...
Redacted.
There's randomly a fucking hand-drawn sketch of the McMartin preschool.
Hmm.
Which is a 4-2 not mentioned at all. And it has diagrams and also... a list of things. I should have screenshotted
this. Is this a children's drawing?
No. It's like a detective's drawing.
Hmm.
It's an archaeologist's rendering.
Okay.
There were tunnels underneath McMartin Preschool.
Hmm.
Also, there
of
was...
what type?
Well...
Are we talking about like manhole tunnels?
No,
or...
like hand-dug tunnels where they use like cinder blocks to reinforce the ground underneath. The place where the trap... There's a trap door in one of the rooms.
Is Rushworth?
And it goes down underneath, and in there, in underneath, they found over 400 animal bones.
Oh.
And there's also a fire alarm button that didn't go outside of the building. When you press it, it would just go have an alarm inside. Do you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And so that's just randomly in the middle of this report with no reference to it whatsoever. And then after that, it just goes back to the regular shit.
Weird.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Mm.
There's so much more, too. I really wanted to get to the McMartin thing because it really blew my fucking mind that that was just randomly in there with apropos of nothing. Like, they're obviously where did thematically...
The McMartin, where did that take place?
California. No connection.
Yeah, that's... Wow.
There's zero connection whatsoever. And they also mentioned things about Pentagon. I don't want to get too, like, esoteric with it, but, like, they list a lot of fucking creepy shit with that McMartin thing. There's two pages. There's one with the drawing, and then there's one where it's a quote-unquote archaeologist report from the McMartin preschool. Basically, you can read all these... most of the report is slightly mundane in the sense that it's really just, like, paperwork going between offices and, like, the Metro Police, the CIA, the FBI. There's actually a memo from the CIA in which it says... it's a report from an FBI agent talking about when he talked to the CIA, where he asked him point-blank, are we stepping on any toes here by investigating this? And the CIA guy said, sort of. And
what the fuck?
I know. And, so apparently the guy who runs the Finders, it says somewhere in there, I think it was in the FBI guy's report, that he's a CIA asset that has multiple passports in Russia, Vietnam, and China. And they were using him for spreading disinformation against the communists. And it said,
find a guy that's not fucking kids.
That's the thing. It said, I think, oh, maybe this was from a police officer, actually. I'm thinking it might have been. It said, it is the opinion of this author that this arrangement was reached before any child abuse took place, and that in any sort of, like, you know, secret society or secret community, like, this kind of shit just happens because it's, you know, obscured from everyday scrutiny.
So you think that he had some type of immunity before he had done these child crimes?
Basically, he became like this fucking, like, he... Well, you gotta read it, man. Like, I don't have all the deets here in front of me. I really should have taken some more notes.
The plot thickens.
It's fucking crazy. Just read it for yourselves. I know it's 300 pages, but there's a bunch of really great things on YouTube where people will go through with you line for line while you have the other window open. You can read through it. And it's just fucking nuts. The CIA. The spooks, man.
Don't
talk glow in the darks.
Don't talk about them too much. They'll shut us down.
Yeah, I'm already on a list.
I mean, Marshall's always busting every type of story. I mean, did you hear about what happened on Halloween?
Did you hear about what happened with Jonathan?
He helped him move, man.
He's crazy. Quiet, though.
Yeah. I watched the... Oscar winner, I think, when was it, 2016, 2017, Moonlight?
Why? Because you wanted to see the cum on the fucking beach? Isn't that a scene? That's all I know about that movie besides the fact that it should have been called Moon Cricket.
He had like a gay encounter with his friend, and then he like jerks him off, and then he like wipes the jizzy hand, I'm assuming, into the sand. It's not very graphic, but...
Mm.
Well, Charity picked it.
You should have said no.
She likes gay movies. The other one she wants... She's been hounding me to watch Call Me By Your Name.
Ugh.
She likes the book, so she likes the...
Schlick to the book in private.
She's actually really pissed because I guess the sequel just came out and she said it really sucked.
She just really wants to fucking imagine a dude jerking off into a peach. That's what happens.
I bring that up every time she wants to like watch it. I'm like, I'm not watching some guy beat off into peaches. Okay?
That's gay.
It is gay.
I won't be. I shan't be watching that.
Not even.
Watch a bunch of good movies this weekend.
Yeah. This wasn't necessarily terrible, but it didn't deserve 3 Oscars. It was basically a story of a gay black man.
Affirmative action, fucking Oscar.
It was about a gay black man. And the only interesting character dies in the first act, and they never even, they like, you know he dies, but they never even elaborate on anything. It just jumps between, there's three different segments of like him getting older and eventually getting back together with the guy that he had a gay thing with, and then it just abruptly ends.
That's gay.
Sounds it's like not good very storytelling.
It's not very good.
That's gay.
She hated it worse than I did, actually.
Gay.
It was gay.
You're gay.
And black.
Worst of both worlds. Oh, I also tried the Shake Shack for the first time this week.
How'd you like it?
It's pretty good.
You've never had it before?
No.
Shake Shack's good. I got it when I was going to probably New York or some bullshit. I don't know.
I didn't really want to talk about the food. I just really want to talk about the smelly black people that were at the place. Being really fucking unprofessional.
Were they gay, too?
No.
Aw.
I ordered online because it's literally across the street from where I work, so I could order and then walk over when it like was done. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing there for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, what the fuck? It stinks like Bo in here.
What's Bo?
B-O.
Okay.
It's like fucking Bo in here.
I've never heard anybody call it Bo. Totally.
I think that's a Marshallism, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Bo.
He smells like Bo. Yeah, so they smell like Bo, and then I look around, and it's fucking two Bo delays. And they went over to the soda machine, which is also near me, so I still smell their fucking Bo. They were using, like, the free water cups, and they were, like, making, like, potion sodas. If you know what I mean.
Like you do mixing. Your kid and mix every soda. Yes,
and they're fucking in their 20s.
23.
Like, yes, they were in their 20s.
They just figured it out. They take a little bit longer to do these things.
Yo, you can make it taste like grape. But yeah, no, they were doing that. But they were there for like literally like easy 4 or 5 minutes.
But they were specifically using the water cups.
I could tell, yeah. And then also the worst part too is the Mexican employee came over to like change the garbage can, which is right next to it. And he was like, yo, man, can I get in here real quick? And they're like, yo, man, 1 second. I'm trying to get my drink on.
Did he actually say that?
No, but come on. Aren't you glad
right,
I said
on,
that?
Hold on. I'm going to ask you again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to edit it
correct
the right
answer,
way.
Correct answer, please.
Okay.
Did he actually say that?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
They were like standing right in front of the garbage. We kind of do that thing where like he was trying to like reach like around and like pull out the garbage, but they were in his fucking way. And he's like, Hey, excuse me, man.
Hey, essay. Can you move
and
up?
They literally were there for 2 more minutes, and the fucking poor fucking spick had to stand there and just wait for them to fucking make their fucking little kid drinks.
That's a damn shame.
In their free water cups.
In their free water cups. And then they called my name and got my burger and left. Shaking.
At least
there's
a happy ending.
Yeah.
SMDH.
He escaped the bow, and then he got Burger King.
And they got their drinks on.
Yeah. Yo, I'm trying to get my drink on, man.
I think that's a good place as any to take a break.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with you.
Breaking news. Acclaimed documentarian Porcelain quits YouTube over bizarre threats from Owen Benjamin.
Oh, that's that guy that you recommended his documentary.
Yes, several of them. And I'm trying to get him on the show. He's from England, so it might be difficult.
We won't hold it against him.
No. So basically, he just posted a thing on... Let me just read it, I guess. Should I do it in a British accent?
You might as well.
I've come to the decision to wrap up this documentary thing and close my Patreon. After Uhuru, I've made 10 long-form documentaries, and I think that's probably enough. I never really wanted to be a YouTuber, and this was always something I would do in my free time. But now I'm finding myself with less and less time to invest hundreds of hours in researching, writing, and editing these documentaries. It's become increasingly difficult to balance doing so with work and IRL shit. Additionally, after announcing the Owen Benjamin documentary, Big Bear has made it clear that's what his fucking faggot sycophant fans call him.
Okay.
Owen Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Has made it clear that he's willing to take batshit crazy measures to retaliate that could seriously affect my life/work outside of this. He has already claimed that I am a convicted rapist sex offender to thousands of his fans, so I should probably take his extreme insanity somewhat seriously. And after Gavin McInnes, making efforts to find out who I am, I figure the best course of action is to retire the channel for now. I'll leave everything up on the channel, and I'm still contactable on Twitter, so feel free to pester me there at any time. So that's a fucking bummer. This guy was really talented.
Is Gavin looking to... Is he friends with Owen Benjamin? So is
No, not at all.
Okay, so he was just, what, looking to interview him, or...?
No, well, no. Porcelain made a Gavin McInnes documentary detailing, like, his entire career up until now, where he, like, kind of lost everything. It's actually, honestly, to me... And Porcelain, if you're listening, he does sometimes listen to the show, by the way. But if you're listening, I really like that one because I felt that it was very nuanced. It wasn't as much of a bash, like just a bash fest like the Owen Benjamin one was. And I feel like it definitely had a certain air of pity and like sympathy that none of the others really did. Because like at the end of the day, I think Gavin is like a kind of pitiable persona because like he kind of like ruined his entire life for to troll, to trigger the libs, basically.
What, with the Proud Boy shit?
Yeah, he basically, like, lost his entire fucking life to trigger the libs.
I mean, I've found a lot of his stuff that he's done funny, so...
He's just gay now. He just cucked out, and, like, he's just like, oh, I'm, like, I'm just not gonna say anything offensive anymore.
Probably
sick of it.
And not
gonna talk about Jews anymore, because I'm afraid. So anyway, we made that documentary, which I think was pretty nuanced and, like, well-measured... And fucking Gavin just basically lied and said, like, oh, yeah, like, all that stuff was bullshit. It's all made up. And it's like footage of you, bro. Like, I guess, he hired someone to figure out who Porcelain's real identity is. And that's kind of creepy.
Like a private investigator
or
something?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Why would he care? Because he made a video of him?
I don't know. What's with these fucking Gen X faggots being so thin-skinned? Make a documentary making fun of me. I promise you I won't care. Just don't mention certain things. No, I'm kidding. I don't think there's much that I've revealed publicly that I'm embarrassed of. Just don't mention my dad said I had trouble wiping my ass.
Don't do it.
Don't you fucking dare. I will get you. I will hire a private
eye.
I've
seen him wipe his ass recently. He does a fine job.
You can eat off that ass. Anyway, I'm trying to get Porcelain on. Maybe he can tell us more about it. Even if we do like a short interview and then we do a regular episode after. Or, you know, like half episode after.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Maybe we can find out who he really is and tell Gavin.
Yeah, we'll tell him. Yeah. And then he'll like be able to sue him for libel or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's our secret plan.
Anyway, so just support. Go watch his YouTube videos. I think they're still monetized, so he could get some ad revenue or whatever. I really recommend the Owen Benjamin documentary, Smarter Than the Average Bear, the Gavin McInnes documentary, Uhuru, and the one about Sargon of Akkad was also pretty funny because that guy's fucking retarded as well.
So is his YouTube name just Porcelain?
P-O-R-S-A-L-N.
There you go, folks.
The movie I picked this week is Barton Fink.
Speaking of Jews.
Yeah, really though. Ooh, a very Jewish movie. Actually, somewhat Jewish movie. This is one of the less Jewish movies, I think.
Really?
Well, I mean, he's extremely Jewish, but I mean, there's no like Judaism as a theme.
Well, they have a bunch of anti-Semites in it.
I wouldn't call them anti-Semites. They're just thinking men.
They're screaming at people for being kikes.
Well, how's that any different from what I do?
Well... Touché.
It's a story about a movie writer, or I should say,
playwright.
He's a playwright.
An acclaimed playwright who becomes an amateur movie writer in Hollywood around the time of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it's a period piece, so it's set in the 40s.
Yeah. Well, I should mention that this was written during during a time in which they had writer's block for Miller's Crossing. And they wrote it like in a week in the middle of when they were supposed to be developing Miller's Crossing.
Didn't know that.
Well, I guess it's fair to say that one of the themes of a movie is writer's block.
Sure, absolutely.
So anyway...
They definitely capture, like, procrastination pretty damn well.
Yes. Yeah. So the movie is a story about, like I said, his name is Barton Fink. He's a greasy kike, even though he's played by a WOP. And he can't just be Italian. He's got to be part Jewish, right?
With how curly his hair is?
I think that was a fucking toupe.
I don't think
that's
so.
That's his hair, dude.
That's how his hair looked in Do the Right Thing.
That's true.
Jungle Fever.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So he's a successful playwright, and he champions the common man. It seems to be, that's an ongoing theme in it.
I mean, it's disingenuous, though.
It's
like
totally
one of those,
condescending.
Right, yes. It's like one of those bourgeois, like, white liberal who's all like, yeah, man, I'm really down with the blacks.
Exactly,
like,
yeah, really.
The worst part's about... his whole championing the common man thing. You see the first real bad one when he talks to his neighbor, Charlie, at the rundown apartment.
Yeah, I guess we can go right there. Thing. Yeah, sure. And he just interrupts him over and over again.
Yeah, he's like, well, I got a good story. Well, yeah, well, you guys, you're real people, and you know what it's about.
And you should keep doing that.
The worst one is at the very end, but we're not jumping there.
Yeah.
So he's given the opportunity to go to Hollywood and write screenplays for Capital Pictures.
Yeah, who puts him in a contract, which I guess was common at the time.
Oh, sure.
And it wasn't like the kind of thing where, like, you submit a script and you get paid for that script. It was like they wanted to keep you so you couldn't work for other people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's kind of the theme, too, is that, like, if you're, like, the industry, when you're a creative, kind of, like, makes you its bitch.
Yeah, they put you in a box.
Yeah, and, box. Also, the fact that, like, you just, like, it's, like, deadlines. It's, like, fuck, like, that's not how creativity works. I need to, like, yeah, like... Right. I need to think for fucking 5 seconds, you fucking assholes. Mm-hmm. Like,
and all this wallpaper keeps on coming around.
It's so gross. Yeah, the place that the hotel we were talking about, it has like a kind of like, forgive the fucking Eagles reference, but it's kind of got a Hotel California like.
Do you know what it reminded me of?
What?
Have you ever played any of Silent Hill, The Room?
No, I'm familiar with the series, though.
Okay, well, in that specific one, you're this guy, and you're trapped.
You're in an escape room?
No, you're trapped in your apartment.
Yeah.
But, like, the door is, like, chained shut, and you can't leave.
Oh, okay.
But it's got a similar creepy, crawly wall kind of thing.
Yeah, they use a lot of greens and yellows in the palette.
It's very pukey.
Yeah. Yeah, the floors are, like, puke green.
I got a little bit of a Shining vibe, too, the way they kept on showing that hallway.
Yeah.
I could see that, yeah.
It's just, I think it's more that, like, a hallway is, like, really nice and symmetrical and, like, looks nice on film, too.
Sure.
It's just, like, visually.
Some people describe this movie as it's a little bit, like, noir, too.
I guess I could see that. It's kind of like.
I think more towards the end when it gets a little bit more detective-y.
Yeah.
I mean, literally a noir is just specifically referencing the lighting.
Right.
Yeah, it's low-key lighting, so it's not even necessarily like the story elements, which it does. I feel
like it's always like a detective
usually
kind of case thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people I felt overact in this movie, but I don't hate it because I think that's
specifically.
It's like they do it right away in the movie with like the theater yuppies when they're like, I thought your play was just marvelous.
I think
he
was just trying
shit.
To show that they're fucking phonies.
Well, they're theater yuppies.
Yeah.
Another dude that does it is the movie producer for Capital. Michael Lerner plays him.
Okay. A Lipnick.
He plays.
That's his name.
Very Jewy. He plays a super over the top guy, but I think
he calls people a kike.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, because it's just like, come on, like everyone in it is a kike, pretty much, except fucking. Wait a minute, the girl and John Goodman are the only non kikes in this movie. God damn it! Every time,
can't win them all.
Every time I fucking pick a Coen Brothers movie, it always just speaks to my own fucking preponderance and fucking narcissism about my self-Jew hatred.
They sneak their way in there.
Oh, God. I talked about it too many times with that interview where I, like, read about the fucking, about how he always injects his Judaism into things. It's like, fuck! Can I just like your fucking movies and not feel guilty about it?
But of the overacting, that's a few examples. There's a couple of more, but
well, I think it's with purpose.
I think it's supposed. That's what I'm saying. I think it's supposed
it
to be.
It speaks to something about their
of
character.
The 40s, kinda.
I think it's that to juxtapose with Barton, who's like so like low-key and reserved, and everyone is so like over the top, and he's just kind of like reacting to
Monk
them.
Monk is a really good example of it too. I just
to
call
show
him
Monk. Oh, wow.
I just call him Monk.
Wow. Can we figure out his real fucking name?
Yeah, I have it right here. Tony Shalhoub. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a kike too. Oh my God, is he a kike?
He's one of the worst. And whenever they show him eating in movies, it's like my least favorite thing to see. Because he always has like food all over the corner of his mouth. And he's just like, oh, I'm eating a sandwich and being really chewy about it.
Yeah. But yeah, no. And then he's like dismissive of him or whatever. And, by the way, both embody like the so stereotypical 40s movie producer characters, like the slick one who like makes moves, which is Tony Shalhoub, and then you got like the fucking no one says no to this guy. that's Lipnick.
But he's like, also kind of a kiss ass, at least in the beginning.
Oh, where he's like sucking fucking Barton's dick?
Yeah.
Well, that was, again, that, like I said before, it's like they wanted to chain it to a contract. They wanted to make him feel like a fucking, the shit.
Like a
so
big he shot.
Comes, so he comes, and then later in the movie, he does explain to him, he's like, or maybe someone else explained. Was it somebody else explained to him? It's like, this is what they do. They, like, keep you under contract, and then, you know, they, like, keep rejecting your shit, but they don't want you working for other people. Mm-hmm. And that's why he fucking sucked his dick at the beginning. And then later, I guess, he really did kind of think that he had something, though, I suppose, because he does give him that second chance when he comes in.
Maybe it's Mayhew that explains that to him about the whole contract situation with writing for the pictures.
Yeah.
Even though he's, like, kind of cartoonishly a drunk, we know people like him.
We sure do. But it turns out he's, like, a total fraud, though. By the way, it was so funny when his character's revealed and, like, he's just barfing in the bathroom. Yeah. And he just comes out and he's like, hey, hey, man. Like,
sorry for the odor.
Yeah. Do you like how the handkerchief...
He was supposed to be William Faulkner, I guess.
Oh,
do you like the way the handkerchief down for his like knees?
Yes,
that's a classy way to throw up in a public bathroom.
I just thought to myself, I was like, I would never touch that fucking thing again. But then again, I remembered, oh, it's probably a segregated bathroom. It's cool.
Fink's like constant thing in the movie is that he has to like get on his soapbox about like how he's like championing the common man,
right?
And he's a real fucking douche.
It's not even that he's a douche, it's just that, I mean, it is that he's a douche, but that's not even the word I'd use. It's just like, he takes his shit so fucking seriously, he takes himself so fucking seriously, but then also in the same time, he's like so like, oh god, I'm awful, like, so self-pitying too. It is such a kike character, like, like, it really does spell out the Jewish psyche. Remember that scene when he finishes the script, by the way, on Pearl Harbor Day, he finishes it because they show the newspaper and it says that.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. But yeah, he goes out dancing at the USO and they're all like, hey, buddy, you mind if I step in? I'm about to ship out. And he's like, I'm a fucking writer.
That's what I said.
Things.
Yeah.
This is my uniform. And he points at his
like,
fucking head.
God, what a fucking
That's what
fag.
I was talking about. That's the cringiest part in the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially of his character.
Right. Oh, we have to talk about the whole murder part.
Well, the main thing on this movie is that he's just keeps sitting down to write, and he's continually distracted by different shitty things in his apartment, his neighbor next door that's just, like, fucking all the time, and then his other neighbor, Charlie, that he ends up becoming friends with.
Yeah.
Who just barges in without knocking a bunch.
At first, he doesn't. He doesn't. Well, after they become, like, friendly, he starts just barging in.
Okay.
Gabe, he let him take a sip out of his fucking half pint of whiskey.
He's a real champ.
He's a real fucking...
Yeah, he poured it out for his homie.
It's true. So anyway, so he meets that fucking William Faulkner guy we said who was barfing before. And it turns out he's
Mayhew.
He's like a prolific writer, book writer, author, and and film writer. He's a film writer too, right?
Yeah. But I think
else would he be in Hollywood?
I think that's on his tail end of his career. I think he used to write good books, and now he's a washed up drunk hack.
Well, now his secretary's writing them for him.
Right, that's revealed at some point, which just shows him, and especially after he lays out fucking. Like, all this horrible criticism towards Fink without ever really reading his shit. But, I mean, just the air about him, I kind of get where he sniffed a fucking rat. Nope. You know, I wasn't going for that. Yeah, wasn't going for
that. Well, he probably also feels that he's, like, kind of, you know, edging in on his woman there. Which he does straight away. He's like, how about me and you go meet when he goes to his, like, place and he's drunk.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of like, okay.
Well, and he did also say, I've got no friends in L.A. It'd be nice since I...
Oh, like he's not trying to weasel his Jewy dick in there.
This is how I get women, Gabe.
Yeah. And that's what he ends up doing.
Yeah, well, kind of. She kind of seduces, not seduces him, but like...
I guess she does kind of like go to his apartment kind of
thing. He desperately goes like, please get over here, I need you. And then she comes over and admits that she's been writing all of his shit and fucks him. And then the next morning, should we discuss this? Or no, we gotta discuss the end.
It's pretty integral to the...
True, it's a whole story, yeah.
Plus, I feel like this is where, because I got bored in certain parts, and then when this shit happened, I was like, oh,
it comes so far out of left field.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that about it, actually, because when I watched this movie, I didn't know what the story was about the first time. Mm-hmm. This is my second time watching it, so that's why I noticed shit like the fucking Pearl Harbor. The first time I watched it, I thought it was just a story about a writer, and then when that happened, I was like, what the fuck? Like,
it almost becomes a different movie at that point.
It does. Yeah.
And I also kind of feel like there's something about the movie where, like, because they're talking about how you have to write the screenplay has to have, like, oh, there has to be a love interest, there has to be this.
Right.
And I feel like the love interest in the movie, that secretary character, she was kind of shooed in, and then all of a sudden this murder plot's kind of shooed in. I kind of feel like, yeah, like this.
It is that.
The
yeah.
script of the movie itself is, like, taking on these, you know.
Right. Like I said, it's about, like, he's, like I said before, it was in the they were in the middle of trying to write another script and having so much trouble with working it out, like, the details in it. Mm-hmm. And then they just, like, they were like, oh, I'm so frustrated. And they're like, let me just get this out. And, you know, obviously, you whatever you're doing at the time.
So it's
goes
in New York, right? And you hear this fishmonger yelling.
There's a couple other lines that allude to that kind of thing later. Turns out that the girl that he just stooped, forgive the Yiddish.
You say that like every time someone has sex in any of the movies we watch.
Would you rather be said, he fucked your pussy?
But you don't have to add in the pussy, but, like, the bitch he fucked.
Sorry, Gabe.
Or he had so. Well, you want to jump down my throat every time I use any Yiddish.
They had taxes.
I don't jump down your throat for fucking saying Yiddish, right? Thank you for celebrating my people.
Yeah, you have. Continue.
Kike.
Stooping it up over here.
Fine. He puts his schmeckle in her.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yeah. By the way, I used that correctly, and Marshall just says schmeckle for shekels. And it's like he argues with me over it, by the way.
Does he think
he
is?
No, it's not!
Try to argue with him about some gook shit.
He did argue with me about gook shit on Friday. Because I was trying to say that somewhere in China spoke Cantonese and another part spoke fucking Mandarin. And he's like, no! Got it backwards! Anyway, she's dead.
So he bangs Audrey.
He bangs her, the chick, and yeah, she fucking, she's dead in his bed, and he's like, oh, Jesus, what the fuck happened? As soon as he starts to make any noise at all, fucking Eddie's there.
Charlie,
whatever the fuck his name is.
John
Goodman's immediately knocking on the door. I wonder why he suspected that.
Well, also paper thin walls, but yeah, I know what you're getting at.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, jeez, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
And he's like, well, you don't call the cops. I know you, and I know you wouldn't do this, but this looks bad. So basically, he passes out in the bathroom, and John Goodman's like, I'll take care of this shit.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. And takes away the body and leaves this awful fucking blood stain on the bed. I guess, how do you get rid of that part, though, especially then?
Well, you couldn't get rid of the bed.
No. You could at least put a sheet over it. Christ's sakes.
He gets
I couldn't even sleep on it after that. That'd be so disgusting.
He gets nosebleeds. It's the sixth floor.
Yeah. It's very dry in here. Actually, it's not, because all the wallpaper's falling off. At this point, he kind of like has like a updated sense of creativity for whatever reason. And I think, again, it's what you were alluding to, is that it's the, you know, the acts of a script.
Yeah.
And that's why he artificially just says, whoa, it's so crazy that's what made me.
The time in the movie where that has to happen, so yeah. It does.
The detectives come and question him and basically tell them that, oh, your neighbor Charlie is actually this guy, Munt. What's his name? Munt?
Madman Munt.
And he's a serial killer that shoots people in the stomach with shotguns and then decapitates them.
Yep.
So he finishes his script.
Yes, he does finish his script, goes out dancing, doesn't want to be bothered. It says the cringiest kike shit has ever been uttered on film. And then he comes back, and Charlie's back, and gives him
The detectives are in his apartment.
Right.
And they're reading his shitty scripts.
Yeah.
And they're, like, making fun of it. And
it's a wrestling script, by the way. I like how he put so much work, was trying to make such a big deal out of it.
He was trying to write Nacho Libre.
Oh, jeez.
That would have been a better movie than he wrote.
Apparently.
Bite your tongue.
They find out that obviously he's more involved than he told them, after seeing the blood stain.
Right.
They handcuff him to the bed and go down the hallway only to hear the elevator
ding. Well, you didn't mention the box, though, that he, that Charlie left.
Oh, that's true.
Before he left for New York, he gave him a rather interestingly sized box about, let's say, 10 inches by 10 inches by 12 inches.
Head-sized box.
We'll say that. Sure. Yeah, they leave him handcuffed to the bed, and then he shows up with a gun.
Well, actually, first they say, like, oh, put down your bag, and they're like, okay, he's cooperating. And then he pulls out a, like, shot, double-barrel shotgun,
yep.
Blows them both away.
Yep. And lights the place on fire.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a cool scene where it was, like, coming up through the elevator.
That's all real.
Really?
Yeah, that's all real fire. They had planned to do it digitally, I guess, but they were like, how the hell are we going to do this? And so they just built...
It was 91.
So. True. But they also built, like, so they built in an abandoned air hangar, they built a duplicate hallway set and literally just put, like, gas jets, like, every few feet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they had a guy walking on this, like, on the top of the set with, like, a lighter. Or like a, you know, like a thing. Like a,
probably like a blowtorch or something.
Something like that. And he walked down with John Goodman as he ran down the hall.
It's a cool effect. It's got a really, like, dream sequence-like quality to it.
Yeah.
It's surreal.
Yeah. Well, this is the point where Don was saying, it's like, is this a real fucking movie or is this a movie? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Is it a movie? Like, is it a movie?
It seems like it.
He has a heart-to-heart with John Goodman, and then John Goodman's basically like, yeah, you're fucking full of it.
Yeah. That he says, you never fucking listen! Also, he says something to... This is the thing... This is the other comments I wanted to bring up about the movie thing, is that he says something about, you get to fucking leave! I have to stay here! Because it's like, it's is it... What was he talking about? The guy who writes a story? Like, the characters have to stay.
Yeah.
But he can leave.
Mm-hmm.
He takes his script to who is now a colonel or something like that.
No, he's wearing a prop.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, I just got picked up by the army, yeah. And I'm gonna, this is what I'm gonna be, but... Mm. And he's like, oh, let's read your... I had Lou read your script to me, the guy that I fired and called him kike trash or whatever.
Yeah.
And...
You get out of my face, you fucking cunt! Or kike or something!
He described Fink's movie as... A fruity movie about suffering, because I guess he wrote a movie that was too deep to be
a wrestling movie. I mean,
he was like, "Where's the action? Where's the big guys on the mat? That's what everybody wants to see.
Men in tights.
That's the important part."
And yes, so his script is rejected.
And then we're left with. We kept on seeing throughout, there's recurring themes.
Oh, yeah,
themes.
He's got this...
It's a picture of a girl, sitting
shading,
on the beach.
Shading her eyes on the beach.
And we basically are in that scene at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it even frames it the same way as the picture hanging on his wall.
Can I make an argument? And this goes along with the thing we were talking about before. I would say that may be them being like, oh, look, and we did symbolism.
But what does or it like?
That's not the point. Is that they had a recurring visual motif?
Sure.
All right. I'm glad I wasn't the only one because I felt like they had a lot of themes in there, but I had no clue.
I don't think they were really specifically going for anything concrete.
There's a couple of recurring themes. There's the picture of the girl on the beach, and they keep showing that in close up.
Yeah, because it's right in front of where he has his typewriter.
They have the ocean like washing wave sounds. Mm-hmm. The peeling wallpaper and, like, the glue coming down.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes. And there's a couple points where he's bitten on the face and they even, like, bring it up in the dialogue.
Right.
And then there's, like, biblical references scattered in there. Oh, specifically God. Nebuchadnezzar.
Boy,
so.
What about him?
I'm just saying.
What did they bring up about him? I don't remember that.
Well, okay. The guy's book that's supposedly his best work, the guy that he likes. Mayhew's book, mm-hmm. His best book is the Nebuchadnezzar. It's brought up later on with when he looks in the Bible and then it says something about the book. And then he looks at the beginning of Genesis and then it's the story that he's been writing is the text
in
the Bible.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I remember. Yeah. It's
Nebuchadnezzar
the first...
comes up a couple times, though.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's Nebuchadnezzar. It's a book by Peter or whatever the guy's name is, Mayhew. And it's about a black man with sunglasses who pilots a ship through post-apocalypse. And Keanu Reeves is there.
Yeah. Yeah. We did talk about that on the in the Matrix episode. If you want to go back and listen to that. It's what is it called? You Eat the Goo or something?
You Eat the Goop.
You Eat the Goop. There were certain things I couldn't place, and I'm glad that I'm with you guys, because I was like, oh, well, if I'm too dumb for this, Don must have picked it up. So
the only thing with the picture on the wall, the only thing I can think of, and this is pretty pretentious, and I hope this is not what they're going for, as he's becoming immersed in his art, so this picture on his wall is art. By the end of the movie, he is fully living in the art.
Oh, okay.
He's totally
immersed.
I can
see that too,
and separated from reality. That's what I would take from that.
I do think that they've publicly stated that there was no deliberate thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just something they decided to do, like, for, you know, for, like, because it looked good or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's kind of a nice surreal touch at the end.
Yeah. And it's like, what? Or more, it just casts doubt on what is real and what is, you know, his painting in front of his fucking.
Mm-hmm.
They also specify that he does not know what's in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably the head.
Yeah. But you would have think that he would have, like, checked, at least in, like, maybe one of the scenes that you didn't see. He gave it a shake. That's about as, like, thorough as he
it
was.
It sounded pretty head-like.
It sounded pretty head-like. I mean, do you want to get to the reviews from there?
Yeah, I mean, this is not my favorite Coen Brothers movie, but it's a Coen Brothers movie I really like. John Goodman, especially when you find out he's a fucking serial killer and he's been, like, so disarming throughout the movie so far, like, to a character. He was, like, almost like a character. Because, like, this is depressing shit, somewhat, that happens during this movie, like, when he's, like, seeing his fucking hero make fun of him to his face and beat his girlfriend. And then you get, you know, John Goodman back on the screen, you're like, oh.
Yeah, he's very likable.
Yeah, and then, oh, I guess not.
Yeah.
He's a serial killer. You like him as a serial killer. I kind of like him more as a serial killer.
Yeah.
He earned my respect.
Yeah.
Also, those detectives were dicks. They kind of fucking deserved it.
Yeah, they're cops, Gabe. They all deserve it.
Yeah, but they're especially written, like, unlikable in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Like, even when Barton's trying to be helpful, they're like, well, that was the most dumb shit that I've ever heard. Why don't you call us when you have something fucking not stupid to say?
Yeah. I do think that John Turturro did a good job as a fucking sniveling kike. Especially that scene that we all agreed was cringy, but
well acted.
Well acted, yeah. I must say. Great soundtrack. Again, visually. This is one other thing I wanted to say. There's definitely some hell imagery going on in that that hotel.
Well,
like, for instance, every
the
time
fire, definitely
that too. But also at the every time they show him in the elevator, it's going down. That was one of the trivia on IMDb. But
I feel like this is one that you'd have to watch multiple times to pick up, like, a little bit
for sure.
Little, because they're little subtle things, and they're not even like they probably weren't even that heavy handed with it when they were writing it.
Yeah, for sure. Or maybe, who knows? They're very Jewish. Yeah, again, like, the cinematography I thought was pretty good. Some of those, like, wave crashes were really good. And, like, the use of color. And, like, the fact that they contrasted all, like, the yucky hotel colors with, like, the bright California vignette. Like,
yeah, whenever he was out of the hotel, it did look like nice, bright and sunshine.
Right,
outside.
And that's kind of like, I guess that was some sort of, like, what's the term I want to use?
Juxtaposition.
Yeah, I guess juxtaposition in the sense that, like, when he's not sitting down to write,
when he's not in his head.
Yeah, when he's there, like, fuck, he's like, fuck, I gotta fuck. It's like when I have to edit over the weekend, I can't have fun at all. Especially on the weekends, like my birthday. Anyway, so yeah, I really like this movie. It's, again, not one of my favorites, favorite of theirs, because there's so many good ones.
Yeah.
But I give this 7.5.
All right. Okay. I like this movie. I don't love this movie. It's kind of, as Coen Brothers movies go, it's kind of middle of the road for me. I do like the performances, specifically from John Turturro and John Goodman, I thought was really good.
Yep. He's always good.
I forgot how likable his character is, which, as we said, when the twist comes, it kind of makes you feel guilty for liking him so much a little bit. But for me, there's a disconnect, and it's specifically when the, like, murder subplot happens. It kind of becomes a different movie, and you could argue maybe it kind of needed something there.
Gabe did say he was getting bored until that point.
It needs something to liven
it
up.
But it is Gabe. Let's take that with a grain of salt. Yeah.
I mean, I identify with stories about writers because I am something of a writer.
Yeah.
And
something of a scientist himself.
Yeah. Exactly. And I do think, as was brought up, the idea of creating characters and you're creating life in a sense. I find that very interesting as a concept. But yeah, the whole murder subplot, it kind of loses me at that point a little bit. So like I said, like it, don't love it. I'd give it I still enjoy it. I'd give it a 6.25, I think.
A lot of similar thoughts going on here. Obviously, the performances were good for the most part. I felt like a lot of not really the beginning part, because obviously you're getting into the story and you're kind of seeing what kind of character Fink is.
Just the exposition, really.
But I feel like it kind of drags in the middle, especially that there's not too much going on other than him like
going in. I felt going that during that time you were building your relationship with Charlie, which is necessary for the big reveal later.
Those parts I like, but a lot of it relies heavily on just him going there, typing a few words on his typewriter, then the wallpaper peels.
Getting disappointed by Hollywood.
Yeah.
I like those scenes. I thought the stuff with Mayhew was dragged out a little too much.
Yeah. Especially because like you got all you needed from him from that first picnic.
I think you need that arc, but you could still have that arc with fewer scenes, I think.
Yeah. I just felt like some of it could have been cut out and it could have been made like a more svelte picture overall. It just felt dragged out to me. I felt like it started to pick up at the end, but it also is, like Don said, it's kind of disjointed. It's like a little bit all over the place towards the end. Kind of like they were deciding what kind of screenplay they were writing while they were writing it. And then they were just like, yeah, you know what? Let's go with that. And then we'll like make it kind of surreal at the end. And then when we were watching Jacob's Ladder, that was too like tidy of an ending.
This was too open-ended,
especially in a movie that really wasn't too surreal before this. But I really like John Goodman in this, and I really like that whole hallway scene. And now that I know it's practical effects, I like it fucking even more. That's really fucking cool.
An abandoned air hangar. That's sick.
I think I'd need to give this a further watch, definitely. So I'd have to at least obviously give it more than a 5. I think I'm going to give it a 6.
Fair enough.
Like it, don't love it. And it's also hard when they have stuff like Fargo that I would much rather give it another watch.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty Jewy all around, I'd say.
I think this came in like under budget too.
Really?
Or maybe not under budget, but it came in like on, they didn't have that much and they made it work very without trouble.
You're completely wrong. They actually did a budget of $9 million.
Yeah.
Made $6 million box office. Which is like,
you sure it wasn't more like $300,000?
It's super tanked. I looked it up afterwards.
No, that's a bummer. I guess who's this movie for besides me and Don?
Right.
It won a couple of awards at Cannes. It won fucking,
oh, it won a bunch of shit at Cannes, I think.
It won Best Actor and Best Director, I believe.
Yeah.
And then it got a couple of Oscar nominee like nods.
Yeah.
But didn't do so hot in the box office. And I also want to bring up, it's got a lot of Big Lebowski's cast that they'll bring back. They bring back later in what was that, 98?
Big Lebowski? Like 6, I think. I mean, they have like a troupe.
Yeah.
They always use the same fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got the Jesus. You got Donnie's there too, because
Buscemi's the bellhop. Yeah.
Chet. See if these tacks work for your fucking
trans.
Oh man,
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I fucking like that movie. I don't know. I'm gay. Now I'm just gonna keep picking fucking Coen Brothers movies till we're out of them.
That's fine by me.
Although eventually I do want to do Strangers with Candy, the movie.
Okay.
We're taping another Dr. Evan, so donate to our Patreon. You only have to pay $1 and you get access to all of our shit
and all your wildest dreams will also come true.
Yep. And also you get invited to the karaoke party and do with Coke with Dawn off the back of the toilet.
Yeah,
I thought it was off stripper's ass.
We can't afford that.
Just go down to Alex's.
I'm going to eat bologna off the stripper's ass.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now we're talking.
If you can pry her out of that sex swing. I'm going to have to bring that back up with Marshall because I knew he would be like loving making the whale getting lifted up by the fucking helicopter jokes.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram, Scott Lizard Abrams, Gabe at Cheap Guitar, Cheap Thrills. You can email us at cinemapocalypsenow@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Cinemapocalypse Now. Just whatever, fuck you. Be gay to yourselves and each other.
Fuck y'all. Y'all not black.
Chicken sandwich.
Don't want to have any dead air, you know.
Not that it could be edited out or anything.
No. I usually turn farts up in the mix.
That's disgusting, Gabe.
This is coming from the person that literally burps throughout every episode.
Yeah, pig.
Yeah.
It's so much grosser.
What?
Burping.
I have such friends.
How people respect his work, but he kind of... No. I'm cutting this out.
Fine.
Download the Anchor FM app.
Oh yeah, that too.
Leave us a viewer voicemail.
You don't have to say that. It's going on the app. It says it in between the beginning at the middle of the podcast.
Yeah, but if you put the commercial.
But you do. We do.
I do. You put one ad.
No, I put. It depends. Fag. Oh yeah, because I. You should be thanking me. This. So you just said to the audience. I make them listen to two ads. You only make them listen to one. Who are they going to like more, faggot?
But you're not increasing the ad revenue. I'm just going to cut this out.
You would. What? No, you can't now. You see that? You hear that, people? Gabe's more concerned about getting ad revenue than you having to listen to fucking me in my basement job with the AC rattling in the background talking about how awesome the analytics are on Anchor FM.
And cut.